Welcome to the Medic Materials Podcast. If you came here for a healthy dose of EMS professionalism, you just made a huge mistake. Each week, we discuss all things EMS, review some calls. We also try to get you to pry open your wallets and buy some cool merch and join the Patreon. Somewhere along the way, we also do a fair amount of education and say some smart things. So push the kids out of the room, settle in, let's get started.
Hello and welcome, everyone. There will be no smart things said today.
Nah.
None whatsoever. Gerard is a liar. A cringing liar.
I hate to say it. I lied. I made it all up.
You made it all up. All the lies, the good lies.
Lies.
Today we're going to be having a little bit of a discussion. Something happened to me over this last weekend that I kind of want to discuss. I think it brings a lot of, not perception, but view of the actual EMS education realm and, you know, what I believe is the driving force behind why it's not advancing as much as it should be in the world. But there's more of that as we get into the show. Gerard, you know the topic, because we had this conversation before, so I'm intrigued to see what you've kind of thought about, because I'm sure you and Tammy have talked about it a little, and what you're coming up with now, not just your instant reaction, but it'll be interesting to hear the Phil Foundation's,
their stance on the topic.
Opinion, yes. Because, yes. You know, Phil has no idea what I'm going to say and what I'm going to talk about.
As we rely on the foundation's opinion for, you know, guidance in our narrative.
Are you sure I'm relevant? Because no one bought a fucking sticker.
Right?
Oh, man.
Bastards.
The anger comes out of the Phil Foundation today, man. Right. That is true. Nobody bought. Well, actually, that's not entirely accurate. The Phil Foundation sticker has sold on medic-materials.com.
I was going to say, it's selling on the website.
Exactly. It's selling on the website, but it did not sell at the conference that I was just
Well, at. And there's a reason because of the conference, which is what we're talking about. Because the same reason we're talking about is the reason why they don't, those reasons don't understand that type of sticker.
It is 100% true. But I did have a couple people ask, because like, I had a board, because you know
that I would have paid to see you explaining it.
It wasn't.
Well, you see, you stick your penis in the hole.
It wasn't like that. It was like I was doing it very, very daintily. I was like, so there was a couple people that was like, "What does this mean?" And I was like, looking around, because, you know, all of them are stuck to a wood board. Right. And I was like, oh, shit, that's the Phil Foundation sticker. I was like, fuck, think. I was like, well, if you were a fan of the podcast and you actually listened all the time, you would understand what this sticker meant. It's an inside joke to the show.
We want to shame our people into listening.
Fucking right we do.
You want to ask about the sticker? You better fucking listen.
You better fucking tune in.
And then don't fucking buy it, apparently.
Right?
But
well, like I said, I think for a lot of people there, it was probably past, you know, their time for Matlock. So.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, and at the conferences, I always go in thinking, oh, hey, I might meet some fans of the show. And at a couple of them, I have. Most of them I don't. And it's a new opportunity for me to introduce the show to the masses. You know, we did have a big spike in listeners and downloads, you know, 2-3 days after the show.
Yeah.
You know, because people are going, oh, hey, I just found out about this show. I met Mike. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to listen to it. And hopefully, welcome. You know,
you new people who are signing up for the Academy. And so that's cool.
Exactly. There were a couple people signing up for that. So, you know, kudos to you guys for wanting that bit of education. And, you know, that kind of leads.
I just had a great idea.
Okay, go ahead.
Next sticker. the Target Solutions logo with the little stick figure guy fucking it.
I like it. You know, there was a couple. I have a running list of that's not the running list. I have them somewhere.
Well, if it's a running list, it probably ran away.
It probably did. I have it somewhere. It's on a post-it note of all of the... Oh, here it is. Yeah. Wet and yours, sticky, don't touch it. Sat versus stat, all the Narcan. Those are the
three, thank you. You got to do the sat versus stat thing. That's like a pet peeve.
Those are the three stickers I'm working on right now.
Their stats were dropping.
Yeah, like... instantaneous brain aneurysm and disrespect from me if you say, yeah, their oxygen stat was 57. Fuck you.
It's like that and irregardless are my two fucking most horrible ones. Anyone who's like, it's like, there's no such word. It's just regardless. Right. Irregardless of what you think. It's like, stop it. Just stop
English.
Murdering the fucking English language.
Right? So let me get this rig check out of the way, and we will jump right into our discussion today. And I want to, of course, plug the sticker merch. You know, there was a huge upsell in stickers. We sold a crap ton of stickers at this last conference I was just at, the North Country Spring EMS Fling, I think its full name is, but it was up in Alexandria, Brett, Alexandria Bay. Ding on that one. I met a lot of good people. Lots of people bought stickers, so awesome to that.
Lots of good people bought stickers. They bought some stickers. Wonderful stickers.
I will say there
the best
is
stickers around.
That's
right. I wouldn't have bought them, but they bought them.
They did buy them. they actually got a deal on the stickers, which I am extending onto the website now. All the stickers are $5 a piece. There is a special 4 stickers for $15, so you're getting one sticker for free.
Hell yeah.
So go to medic-materials.com, and you'll see the merch right there. It'll take you to the merch site, so
I
you
might
can buy
do that.
Your festive stickers.
I need some stickers for my guitar, and I need some...
Yeah, man.
I got a blank spot on my thermos I need to fill.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I might fill it with Phil.
Like I'm saying, there's more stickers coming out each and every month. So I'm getting more sticker merch out there for the masses.
Just like the glory hole.
Just like the glory hole. And the true fans know what the Phil Foundation's all about. So,
that's right.
You know,
it's about raising money for the people.
That's right. It is about raising money for the people.
Caring for others.
That's right. That is
right. Their needs and perversions.
You know, my mother listens to this show, right, Gerard?
Shit, no, I didn't. My bad.
Thank you. What? This is going to be a real awkward conversation.
So let us get back to the topic of Jesus and what he's done for us all.
Oh,
and how,
man.
And how blessed her son is.
Right? Holy shit. So that to end this, I just want to say a thank you to our listeners in the great country of Peru and the great state of Tennessee.
Nice.
So thank you.
Except for the girl in Tennessee that thinks her tampon is a medical emergency.
I don't even want to get into that.
Yeah, we'll leave her out.
Yep.
But everybody else in Tennessee, we love you.
Don't even want to get into that. The only other thing I will say, because this just happened, I didn't really want to put this into the rig check, but the link for this will be in the description below. On either the YouTube or, you know, wherever you're actually listening to this. Here in New York State, we just had two officers get shot on a call up in Syracuse. One of those officers was an Onondaga sheriff's lieutenant, Lieutenant Huzik, or Huzak. I always want to mispronounce the family's name. But my oldest son is actually friends with the Huzak family. That hit close to home. So, you know, there's multiple different ways that you can donate to the family. I put stuff out on the Medic Materials Facebook page and stuff. So if you guys have the ability, Lieutenant Huzak law, you know, left behind a wife and three kids under eight. So that really blows. You know, was on the force forever and just the guy was literally waiting and popped out and shot him, you know, for literally just doing a traffic stop.
This is what we've been talking about.
Exactly. And, you know, it goes back to our last, you know, one of our last episodes with arming EMS, you know, this is out there. It happens to people close to home. And, you know, even though I had never met Lieutenant Huzak, I do know, you know, other members of that family that now have to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, this sudden loss. I even want to reach out to like Tunnel to Towers to see if they will, you know, do something for the family. You know, so again, I don't know who listens to this show that might be influential, but you know, if you are able to donate, there's links in the description.
Or if you know people that like, or again, if you are of influence,
exactly. If you know people of influence, you know, try and help out this family. You know,
and the other family too. I mean,
exactly. Exactly. This is just, you know, the one that, you know, hit close to home for us, but, you know, it sucks. Like, it sucks.
And a month ago, you
have to talk about this.
You had the two cops and the paramedic.
Exactly. And that brought up our other, you know, our other discussion, you know, so it's a shitty situation. It should never happen, but you know, this is the day and age that we live in. So, with that, let me tell you guys a story. So I go to an EMS conference and, I'm there and I'm doing, you know,
conferencey things.
I'm doing conferencey things as the Maha would say.
Yeah.
And I'm meeting with people, and I'm there to promote Medic Materials and the CME Academy. So my main discussion is talking with people and promoting and educating the fact that people can do CMEs not just by clicking through boring slide presentations on EMS-1 and Target Solutions, but they can do it by listening to us crazy people talk and rant and rave on a podcast and then get CME credit for it. And for the most part, so many people were like, as I always get, oh my God, this is a thing. And then, oh my God, they let you in here. And I'm like, yeah, they let me in here to steal away their business.
Right.
They haven't caught on to that yet. So don't say that too loud.
That's funny.
But I always have certain conversations with people that, you know, are having trouble educating their providers in their agency. And I try and show them that this is a wave that they could catch on to and be like, hey, your providers are going to love this. And I guarantee they will want to do the education because they'll be engaged. And ultimately, I met an educator, a fellow educator, while I was there, and this person was up in years, to say. They had been educating for a long period of time, and we were talking, and they were saying that they had, you know, dozens of providers that they were in charge of their education at this particular you know, agency. And their issue was they could not get these providers to do their education. They were late on stuff. All the assigned stuff was not getting done. And they just couldn't figure out why they weren't going on to whatever online platform they were using and doing these things. So I said, well, me being a provider myself, I don't even like doing them. I push them out as far off as I can until they're late or I'm getting the notices from management saying, hey, you're going to be taken off the schedule if you don't do them. Then I do them because no one wants to sit there and just be bored hitting these stupid presentations that no one actually learns anything from.
No, you turn the volume down, you don't even listen to it.
Exactly. So I said, why don't you take something like this where it's engaging, people are talking, you know, people are having dialogue, we're joking, we're laughing, we're educating, we're having a good time, and this is what your providers would absolutely suck up. And the response I got was, well, I don't really understand what a podcast is or how to do it, so no. And then literally turned and walked away.
Well, no. You said...
Oh, I didn't use the right words. Go ahead.
Right. No, because it really is fucking, like, it's just poetic.
Yes, go
Because when you were telling it to me, you were like, yeah, and then I said, no, really, you just, all you do is you just download, and it's like, as soon as you said the word download, he just went, and turned around and walked away.
Yeah.
He, like, didn't,
right.
Didn't know what download was.
No, didn't know what download meant.
Yeah.
And I was flabbergasted at this conversation, but it really puts into perspective who controls education. And
old farts.
It's the old curmudgeons. And as soon as the old curmudgeons don't understand, they go, well, I'm not going to learn it. I'm an old curmudgeon. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
Right? What is this new thing? I don't want it. That's not the way we've done it. It's not the way we've done it for 30 years. Right? And they are the ones holding back EMS education. Right. So,
what do you mean we don't start a line and run D5W? This isn't the mall.
But, you know, we joke about it, but this is a serious thing that's going on. You know, like, literally, today, two fucking day, I was perusing Facebook, and, you know, next thing I know, you know, classes are getting shared, and classes are getting announced, and people are already up in arms because there's a different instructor doing it, because it's not the same instructor that's been doing the same class for the last 20 years. And it's like, okay, we need change. It's okay for change to happen. What is with people in EMS? And just, you know, this is just in general. But what is it with EMS people going, you know what? I understand that things are changing. The horizons are changing. But you know what? We can't change to get there. It has to stay the same. The horizon must stay the same. Otherwise, everything's going to be a fiery car crash and we're all going to die. Because that's the way they look at it.
Yeah. No, I don't know the answer to that. I'm pretty easy with change. But from what I've seen in my experience, you know, these people that are either running, they're running classes or agencies or whatever, it's like the moment something new or exciting or innovative comes along, it's like, well, we're not really into that. We're just going to keep on keeping on because, you know, I just like to keep my head down and, you know, never, ever, ever take a chance.
I think that's a lot of it is taking risk and taking chance, right? There are people, you know, at the same conference, I was having a great conversation with one of the schools there that had, you know, EMT and paramedic program. And they were telling me about different philosophies and how they teach. And I was like, dudes, it's like, this is great. Keep it up. Like they were doing flipped classrooms and they were doing, you know, they literally said, your first 3 months, we get everything done for instruction. Like, all of your lecture is done in the first quarter, and then everything else is just lab and sim time. For the next year, along with ride time and hospital time, and I was like, that is awesome.
That's for paramedic?
That's their paramedic program.
Yeah, that's
pretty
I was cool.
like, that's new and exciting and innovative. I like it. Right? So people are willing to be daring and different. But, you know, the person that I was talking to was my age. You know, somebody young who was eager, who was wanting that change and seeing where we need to get. They weren't the old curmudgeon going, yeah, we should change this. It's going to be so great. You know, give me my teeth. Like, well, it wasn't.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems with the curmudgeons is, and the fact that there's young people that are, you know, chomping at the bit to make change and do things that are better and try new things and use newer, you know, more efficient equipment and, you know, better equipment. I mean, just a different way of teaching is they've gotten so old and so set that that's all they can do anymore. They're past their prime for being on a truck. So they're not going back out there and fucking running hot. They're not doing that. You know, for whatever reason, they don't want to retire, or they, you know, they can't retire because of this, you know, the way this industry is set up. And so this is where they've painted themselves into a corner, and this is where they're at. And of course, then you get the whole, like, this is my little kingdom, you know, fee, fi, fo, fum, and we don't want anybody else coming in.
Right.
Period. You know, and that's a big part of that too.
That's a huge part of it. So Phil, you've been quiet since you yelled at people for not buying your stickers, medic-materials.com, the Phil Foundation sticker, $5. So what are
he's looking up each person one by one in the
they're going on the
yellow pages. Right.
Right. You're gonna get an angry, well written letter. Not written by me, because I can't spell, but
right. So he's gonna show up at their house and be like, excuse me, are you
the AI, you know, will write it for you, Phil.
I'm a douchebag 6969 at AOL.com. Did you say, like, Phil?
Is there a reason you viewed my sticker and didn't buy it?
And didn't buy
right?
it.
Right? How dare you? I was just waiting for somebody in, like, of importance to be like, why is there a glory hole sticker on your booth?
And that's when you can go, why do you know what a glory hole is?
Right.
Why don't you buy one? I'll just keep my mouth shut on that. Oh, black man, they're buying it.
You want your wife and kids to know, right. You know what this is?
Oh, my God. Buy so 10 bad. To buy right. 10 of them.
Well, so the way I look at it is it's the same thing as, like, newer providers. Like, this day and age, like, I'm 22 years old, and I've already almost been a medic for 3 years. And you get the same reaction from, you know, the old heads who have been doing this, you know, who precepted Johnny and Roy prior, you know, way back in the day, who are like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't, you don't know how it used to be, you know, back in the old days. But these are the same people who look at somebody and be like, they're fine. They're not dying. I don't need to do anything.
Right.
But as far as, like, education stuff goes, it's they're comfortable where they are. You know, they've got a cushy schedule where they come in for, let's say, you know, 2 weeks out of the month in total and say, I'm going to do this CME for 2 hours and it's the only credit you get. And they're comfortable with it. They don't want to change the way, like, they don't want to change their comfort level to better the education standard for the agency or the group that they do these CMEs or anything for as a whole.
I definitely think you guys are onto something, and something that, you know, my brain doesn't process very well is, you know, I look at what I go through to get better as an educator, right? Like, looking for new ideas, talking to actual educators, like, you know, people who have, you know, have a teaching degree, taught students for 30 years, you know, are in the know of current, you know, neuroscience practices and stuff. I couldn't tell you how many books on tape I've read on neuroscience on, you know, yes, I will say that. Books on tape that I listen to. Is that better for you, Gerard?
Yes, yes. Because my brain would just shoot on that for a long time, and I'm just, and all of a sudden I have, like, a pupil blown or something.
Would have been at the end of the podcast and Gerard would have said, so let me talk to you about the,
right.
So, you know, books on tape that you
how
read.
Do you read? Yeah.
Whatever. I read the cover.
Like the old school dictograph where you, like, take the film out and you're like, read it under the light.
There you go. There you go. Like, there's so many things as an educator that you can do to get better at education, right? At better at teaching. And one of the things that I don't ever think about is, and you guys brought it up, is that this is all they can do, right? They have hit their wall as being an educator. This is as far advanced as they're ever going to go in the practice of education. Maybe not their knowledge set, but their ability to give information. And you know where that starts? That starts at the classes that these educators are being given. Because let me tell you, I went through the NAMSE 1 program, right? That was the big push that New York State wanted. That's what I got my fast track for my CIC. I didn't go through the New York State CLI and CIC course. And I will be the first to say that class is 100% based off of non-proven science and bullshit. Like, yeah. I couldn't tell you how many people still to this day believe in their heart of hearts that, you know, oh, you're a kinesthetic learner, you're an auditory learner, you're a visual learner. That's a thing. That is bupkis. It's lies. It literally was debunked 400 times in multiple studies. It's like the guy who did it was an Australian dude who just made it up. And then the community said, hey, that sounds great, and ran with it. And what have we been told over and over and over and over since childhood? Oh, yeah, you do things great with your hands. You must be a tactile learner. So then what do? We learn Maslow's hierarchy. I couldn't tell you how much of Maslow's hierarchy I got drilled into my fucking head as an instructor. Guess how many times I've ever used Maslow's hierarchy in my instruction? Zero, none, yep. It doesn't fucking matter. And what kind of learner you are. NAMSE 1 even had us do a thing, like the survey to figure out which kind of learner you are as a going to be an instructor. And it's like, you're basing shit off of lies.
This is a lie. Right. And the lie, the original bullshit fucking thing that this guy put forward, all this does is it lays the foundation for excuses down the road. Oh, well, I'm not a tactile learner. I'm an auditory learner. So you should have taught me a better way, because it's your fault, not my fault, that I'm a fucking stupid moron.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the stuff we do is not rocket science. It's, you know, we call the monkey skills for a reason. You know, a lot of the stuff we do is not, it's just wash, rinse, repeat, freaking muscle memory kind of stuff. And there are some people who are very capable of doing those things. And there's some people who just, you know, like at the EMT basic level, like you don't understand, like, you know, how to make a seal with a fucking bag. You know, once you get to that point, or you don't understand, you know, how circulation through the body works, you know, I'm sorry, man. Some people just aren't cut out for doing this kind of shit.
Right.
But you give them off ramps on how, oh, well, I'm just an auditory learner, so that's why I didn't learn that. And bullshit.
I 100% agree. I think, you know, And it goes, I mean, I love my mother-in-law to death, right? And we were in a class together recently, and she used it as an excuse 400 times. She's like, I'm a tactile learner. I have to do it. And it's like,
it's an excuse.
It's an excuse, right? Huh. It is literally an excuse. And I think that's a great way of putting it, right? We all learn via a multi-method way, multimedia way, right? We listen, we do, we think, we see. All of that comes and forms, you know, the education and how we retain that information. And then if you really go in and figure out the neuroscience of how the brain actually learns information, then educators can sit there and go, okay, well, you know what? I'm not going to teach this way because that's going to be, you know, unhelpful to how the brain processes information.
Dude, I brought it up before. I mean, like when I was way back in the day, and I was like, yeah, maybe I'll do my flight instructor thing. And I started, taking all the courses and stuff to go through that. And one of them was, the first one you take is the fundamentals of instructing, which is, the FAA's version of, whatever the shit was you did. And and it was saying you learn all your, laws of primacy and laws of, all correlation and all that stuff. And, the different levels of learning and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it used to be where you figured out how you learn best and how you study best and how you retain information. Mm-hmm. And then you figure out a way to make that happen. Now you start introducing all these, I'm a this and I'm a that. And then if things don't work your fucking way now, I'm just a this, so I can't do it that way. So right. I'm just not even going to fucking try.
Right.
Well, that's pretty fucking stupid and it's lame. But on top of that, the one thing we did learn was, the amount of, and this is where, these super fucking 8-hour classes of just lecture and shit, they serve no fucking purpose other than to satisfy a state requirement, because you don't learn. The human brain will learn for 2 hours, mm-hmm. 2 solid hours of introducing new material, new data, processing, storing, learning, that kind of stuff. At the end of that 2-hour block, it's going to go in this side, it's going to go out that side, and it's never going to be fucking understood again.
Right.
And that's why when you see training flights set up, they are set up in a 1-hour block of actual flight time with a 1/2 hour pre-brief, 1/2 hour debrief, bookending it.
Yep.
That's 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for, we just made it that way for fucking shits and giggles. There's a reason it's that way.
Right.
It's because at the end of that 2 hours, you're going to be talking to somebody that ain't fucking listening.
Well, and that, I fall back to, neuroscience, right? We have working memory, right? Working memory is like it's a fancy term for your short-term memory kind of thing, but it's a different, yeah. It's a different block of short-term memory, right? So think about like an octopus that has 8 arms, right? We can individually remember 8 things for a short period of time. And that is what we learn, right? We are learning 8 specific individual things. Once we get to the 9th thing, gone. It's gone. Because then we need the break to be able to get the brain to take it from working memory and put it into long-term storage.
Right.
So if you're not giving your people breaks, 5, 10, 15 minutes, where they're detaching from everything, the brain has no ability to process things out of working memory, putting it into long-term memory so you can actually retain it and put new things into working memory. So it's like, I try when I teach classes to do 45 minutes to an hour and then give a break, because that's all you're going to ever remember, and changing up from lecture to group work to study alone time to skill time to go back to lecture to do all these different things is helping break up that monotony, so the brain is constantly having to work.
Yep.
If you do 8 hours of straight lecture, those students, or even 4 hours of straight lecture, those students have gotten nothing from you and will have learned nothing from you.
Nope, they'll remember the first couple of things you talked about.
But what is
EMS?
Exactly. But what is EMS education? Let me scroll through my slide presentation for 4 hours, and I hope that you got it. Good job. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Not even I hope that you got it. It's I did my part. This is what the state wanted me to do. Click, 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 click,
right.
Click. Whether you got it or not, that's not my problem.
How
you go home and you read the book and you figure it out.
How is that education? Like,
it's a great example of, state education.
But this is everywhere.
They don't care about
learning.
Yeah.
I can't say it's every single, because there are some good instructors out there, but the vast majority of EMS education is death by PowerPoint and listen to the instructor. Like, the instructor is just going to talk at me. They're not going to talk with me, and have group discussions and class discussions. They're just going to talk at me until I'm blue in the face. I don't understand why that is. Go ahead, Phil.
I think it goes back to like what you said, like the studies where they, you know, the tactile learning and all that. That was all these old school educators. I'm going to say old school like the old school providers who are now educators. That's all they heard throughout their entire, you know, educational history, even like high school or anything like that. And it just became a thing that they just believe so hardcore that when someone comes to them with new information, they're like, ah, nah, fuck, you know, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to, you know, subscribe to that. Get what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And it's just, they get it drilled into their head and they refuse to believe anything new. So then, you know, they do these 8 or 9 hour lectures and no one retains anything. And then when it comes time for like, when they don't graduate, they're like, well, it's your problem. You didn't pay attention in my class or like to my lecture.
And there is a ton of that. There's a ton of the instructors not taking blame for their mess ups. Like, you know, if half my class fails, it's the class. Like, that's literally what they'll say. They won't sit there and go, whoa, one student failed. Okay, it might be the student. 3/4 of the class failed. That is now a me
problem.
That's
the instructor.
That is an instructor problem.
And this is kind of what I was going to say earlier, was, you know, when you, you know, I'm not blowing sunshine up your ass or anything, but like when you are teaching a class or getting into a class or anything, like you tend to, and I would say, I don't want to say like the younger group of instructors coming up and stuff like that, but I would say like people like my age and down, you know, like not the curmudgeons that have been around since the Cadillac ambulance.
Yep.
But you know what I mean? Like people that have been around since, you know, like vans at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I would say in my experience, they tend to be more self-examiners. Like they will look at their own shit and say, huh, am I right in thinking this? Am I right in doing this? You know, if a student doesn't pass, they're like, man, what the hell did I do wrong? That's like their first go-to.
Yeah, how many times have I had that conversation?
Which is what I was about to just roll into is the fact that I get phone calls and it's like, oh my God, these two students failed. What did I do wrong? I'm like, they're fucking idiots. You know, you can't teach idiot out of idiot. You know what I mean? You can only do what you get. And we have these long conversations of, you know, what could I have done better? You know, this and the other thing. I don't think when you get into that, you know, I got to watch fucking Matlock at 7 o'clock age, that it's, you're going to fucking be doing a lot of that. You're going to be, you know, kind of like a certain somebody we know that, you know, blames everybody for everything. And, you know, it's everybody else's fault. And, you know, it's, you know, a very get off my lawn attitude.
It is very painful.
You know,
it is extremely painful. You know, I couldn't tell you, and you are 100% correct, Gerard, in that I have called you and Tammy both, and I've talked to Jess countless even more times. Phil, now that you're starting to really help me in class, how many times have I talked to you in like somebody's not getting something? And it's like, okay, well, what did I do wrong? It's not even like, okay, what is the student not getting, not doing
right? And that's
what
an instructor should be like.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like, I think there needs, I've thought about this for a long period of time. Like, if there was one thing that I would focus in on change, it's changing how instructors instruct. How they learn. I originally always thought that like EMS instructors should have some form of teaching background, right? But there's not enough teachers that choose EMS as a profession.
So I mean, I'll just give you a case in point. So where that works against us is, like, in this state here, you could instruct here. Tammy, she can't instruct here. Because just to be a lab instructor, you have to have an associate degree. To be a course instructor, you need to have a 4-year bachelor's.
Really?
And that's non-negotiable. That is in the state freaking DOH rules.
Which is funny, because then I could only be a lab instructor there.
Oh, I thought you had a 4-year.
Nope.
Nope, then all you could be is a lab instructor.
Interesting.
That's it, dude. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So here I am. I'm like, well, fuck, I could be a course instructor.
Right?
you don't want that.
Yeah, I do. That'd be awesome. I'll have the
fucking bell up front. Fucking motherfuckers be frying fucking and shit.
Fantastic.
I'll have Scuba Steve shooting people in the face.
That's now Roman's job.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're getting there.
So, like, you know, I wouldn't say, like, they have to. I don't even think that EMS educators should have to go to, you know, get their master's in education. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they should at least have, you know, a year course on how to educate adults in EMS. That's specific to EMS. You know, not this little podunk, oh, we're going to have a little CIC class and you could take the NAMSI 1 and then just do an internship and boom, now you're done. But, like, actually learn how to educate human brains.
So what will happen is you'll have people that will take that NAMSI course and stretch it out to a year.
Which sucks. So
they're not going to, the path of least resistance, they're just going to take all this garbage gobbledygook shit, spread it out over the year. Like, you know, there's a certain, you know, course I heard about that's just, you know, EMT basic that lasts like 8 months.
Right.
It's like by the time you get to the end of it, you forgot everything in the beginning of it.
Damn skippy.
It's so fucking long. Right. You know what I mean? Well, so what's the point? Go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, so the way I did my EMT basic, it was a little different. So I did it through my senior year of high school. Through the vocational school.
There we go.
Was adjacent to, well, not adjacent, but that had like the program with my high school.
Now you're talking. Opened
up like a pilot program for EMT classes. Because there was like a surge of interest in like the healthcare field when I was going through high school. And that was a year long. And it was 2.5 hours each like school day. I do like half of my regular high school, half at this vocational school. But, like, I forgot probably, like, 80% of what I learned in, like, the first month when I got to the end of my test.
Right. And that's...
It's just... So it's natural. Yeah.
The time frame of these classes is way too long.
I agree. And I think, you know, there's no standard. Like, New York, I don't know of any other place. I don't do education anywhere else, so I can only speak on New York. New York has no time frame for classes... Except they set an hour limit. So they say an EMT course, if it's blended, has to be 150 hours in class. If it's non-blended, it has to be 170. That's what they say. So you can get 20 hours, at least a minimum of 20 hours on online and stuff. You know, gotcha. So like, you know, when I teach for one place, I write my schedules for 155 hours because that's what they pay me for, right? They will not pay me a dime over 155 hours. The other place that I teach has 172 hours. And, you know, they'll pay me for that because it's a different pay scale and that's the way they want their classes run. But, you know, you can take that 170 hours and stretch it over a year, 8 months, 5 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever you want. There's no set. It's going to be one semester. Okay. It's going to be 1 year. Okay. It's going to be 8 weeks. It's up to the discretion of the course sponsor. Who's actually putting on the class. So like, you know, I you know, I've taught a semester class. I've taught an 8-week class. I've taught a 6-month class. Like, it just depends on where you're teaching. There needs to be a little bit more uniformity in how these classes are being put on.
Yeah, and what, I mean, it's funny, but yeah, I think that's actually kind of a great way to go, especially with a lot of things today. You know, a lot of parents need to stop with the fucking college shit, because, you know, there's a lot of people that do not need to be going to college that are going to college. Mm-hmm. They just weren't meant for it. So having, you know, outlets for them, like, yeah, using a vocational thing for EMT basic through your high school
is awesome.
I think that's fantastic, because then you come out the other side. Now, if they would structure it in such a way where it wasn't like what Phil's saying, where, you know, you learn all this crap and then it just drones on and on and on and on and on, and then at the end you don't know shit. But if you structure it in a way where you have a block of classes and then test out for, you know, that particular block, and then go do a block of ride time where you're riding with an agency,
right,
you know, as a junior, you know, like Kelsey did, you know, and the proof is in the pudding. I mean, you know, you get kids like that do this stuff like that, you end up with Phil's and you end up with Kelsey's,
right.
You know, when you don't have that, you end up with, you know,
people
everybody,
like me.
Everybody out there, think of the most stupidest fucking moron you work with right now. That's what you get.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that would work. I mean, Phil, you went through the program, you know, you would be the best one to think how that would be more beneficial to you. You know, they're out there, you know, the BOCES program and the VOTEC programs are out there, you know, how do we make those better?
Now I talk to people that, like, I know who have, like, you know, friends of the family who have younger kids going through this program, and now it's shifting towards, like, the paid firefighter
side
of things.
Bitches.
There they go again, so, those, like, cocksuckers.
They do EMT and your firefighter one, BFO, whatever you want to call it, at the same time.
Of course, it's called BFO.
And then their idea is, by the time you graduate, you'll have both of those to be a paid firefighter.
Yeah.
So
great. And then you can get their fucking hopes up, and then they'll go and fucking do the CPAT, and they'll fail, or they don't know somebody, so they won't even get canvassed.
Right.
You know, good luck. Have fun. Yeah. We're all counting on you, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, when I went through it, it was strictly EMT.
Yeah.
You know, you did X amount of hours. I want to say 8 hours of total, like, lecture and lab time for the week, and then 2.5 hours of patient contact, hospital, clinical time. Like, right. 1 day a week was your day to go to the local hospital and get real hands-on patient.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Do you think there's any merit or advantage in academy classes? Like what? Not like, hey, we're gonna go out to, like, a state EMS academy. That's where we teach you how to be EMTs in a semester. Boom, we got, you know, a graduating class of 400 EMTs. Not saying like that, but the course sponsors that are paid departments that say, we're going to hold an academy class Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and you're an employee, and then boom, hit the road running. What do you think of those classes?
I think that, especially if they're through an agency, dependent on the agency, I'll say, awful.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is it's a system called ab initio. It worked for the airlines in the 90s, because there was a huge pilot shortage, and they were like, man, we really need fucking people, because we're not going to be able to keep these flights going.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Delta was one of the first ones. They partnered with a commuter airline called Comair. And they started an academy, which we ended up calling them pilot factories, because what they would do is they would take someone from, what is an airplane, to, hey, look at that, I'm an airline pilot from step one straight to the freaking right seat in an airliner.
Right.
In the shortest amount of time possible. And it was just literally, that's all. And they, you know, lived, breathed, ate, slept, you know, flying and flying the Delta way.
Right.
So that way, when you got these people out, you had them trained exactly how you wanted them to fly right. for your airline.
Right. It's long, which, it's a long version of OJT.
It actually makes a lot of sense if you are a, you know, a well-established, you know, agency, ambulance corps, you know, whatever, county-based system, whatever. That type of system really does make sense, especially if you can get them when they're like 16, 17.
Right.
You know, get them when they're still in high school. Teach them how, you know, have them riding your way. They learn your bags, your system, your radio comms, all that stuff is all done your way. And then when they come out the other end, hey, you don't have to worry about, you know, having empty seats anymore.
Right. Now you have an employee.
Right. The only problem is you have to make sure you that, you know, you keep the turnover going.
Right.
Because otherwise you'll have a, you know, a backup in the supply chain, which, you know, EMS doesn't seem to have that problem because
I think
it was, believe it or not, I think, and I'm going to use the name of it because it's just well known that they did this, was Malta EMS a few years ago. They did, and I think it was when we were in class together.
Okay.
They did a study or something. They actually looked at their numbers and found that the average employee like works for them for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
average, and then they move on and they go other places. So what they did was they structured their benefit system and their pay, everything else, for an employee that was not going to be. So there's no 401k, you know, there's none of this stuff where, you know, it's just it's bullshit. So they ended up, you know, you're an employee that, you know, you kept more of the money you made. You know, they didn't siphon stuff off into 401ks and shit like that.
Right.
They did some other things where, yeah, I mean, like you were made to, you know,
be expendable in 5 years.
Yeah. Like, yeah. In 5 years, they knew you were going to move on anyway. So, right. You know, there was no reason to, you know, make you try to be a company man.
Right. Right.
You know, and they kept the pipeline open on the back end, you know, so that they knew they're always going to be bringing new people in.
Yeah.
So. So, I mean, yeah, you could do stuff like that.
So with, you know.
I'm sorry, I think Phil was going to say something.
Oh, good, good, good. I was just going to ask please. Him a question. So go ahead, Phil.
But look at it through the other side of, like, those private EMS companies where it's a constant high turnover and all they want is, you know, an ass in a seat. They're going to push the lowest common denominator through. And now you're getting people who do a class in like two, you know, let's say 2 months, right? Who should not be cleared to be providers at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're saying you do this class in 2 months, you already have a job.
Right.
But the caveat is you owe us.
Right.
Yeah, you're an indentured servant.
Right.
You're in our debt to pay off the cost of this class because the class is free.
Nothing's free.
But you sign this contract, your ass is ours for 2 years to pay the cost.
Which it's not really free because the company gets paid when they pass. So the company the company can voucher for them.
No, he's talking about like
I get it.
But you know, like, what I'm talking about.
Even still, you know, yes, they make it seem like you owe them money, but they're still getting money on the back end through voucher.
No, exactly, program. But they don't tell you that.
Right. That's the bullshit.
So, the private agency that I worked for prior to getting hired at the agency I work for now had two programs. They had the EMT Academy, and they offered to pay for you through medic school, no expense to you. But
you owed them X amount of years
full time, and you had to work there for 5 years.
Ooh, hell nah.
To pay them back for the cost of you going.
Oh, hell nah. I wouldn't have worked for that place for 5 years full time. Exactly. Hell nah.
No, so that's heavy. That's a heavy price,
dude. That's them bending you over and just sticking it right in.
You got people who
yeah, hell nah.
Are like, oh, I'll get a free ride through school.
Sounds great on paper.
I only have to work there for 5 years. The way I look at it, it's like dog years. One human year is seven
EMS years.
X whatever private ambulance agency you work for.
Right.
Yeah, that agency is definitely one to seven.
Yeah.
Easy.
Easy.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, going back to the EMT Academy style, you're pushing, you know, Joe Schmo, who worked at, you know, Domino's before he decided to change his career path. And now, you know, you have a patient who he's killed because he didn't treat them the proper way because he got his hand held throughout the entirety of this EMT Academy.
Yeah.
And it's no fault of the instructor. It becomes the fault of said Joe Schmo who killed somebody.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean,
go ahead, Gerard.
Well, I said Tammy instructed at that particular, you know, EMT factory. And, you know, she would come home and say the same thing. She was like, you know, in fact, you know, here's another, I know we're supposed to be talking about the educators and, you know, what's going on there. And I don't know how we kind of spiral down to the, you know, what's wrong, you know, in general fucking conversation, but,
you're welcome.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
it. It's all Phil's fault.
Because I was all out of shit. No, you know, she said one of the biggest things, like, she had a problem with was, especially, you know, with New York State's, the way they have things set up, she had a lot of people in her class, and her classes, that they had no intention of ever completing the course and being an EMT.
Yep.
They had to fulfill a obligation to appear to be working towards being trained for a job in order to continue to receive benefits later. So when they fail out of the class, they use the, I'm a tactile learner or something else. There's some reason why they couldn't pass some bullshit. And then they go back to getting their fucking benefits for another year, and then they'll try again later, you know, when after they've had time to refresh and find a safe space and, you know, squeeze out another kid or something, you know.
Said EMT factory also gave people the option of being just a driver, like an EO.
Yes.
So even if you failed the class, it didn't really matter because you still had a job that got paid the exact same amount.
Yeah, they started that, I think, right before she left, was the, making them
you guys are emergency making me vehicle more operators. Angry. So, to steer us back here to my last question for you guys, you know, we can't sit here and fix the way New York State allows people to do education. We can't sit here and dictate how people are going to run classes or anything like that. But, you know, if you guys, you know, as educators, right, had to sit there and send a message to all the educators in New York State, what is your message to them? Short, long, doesn't matter. If you had a message, what is your message to them?
How mean can we be?
It's our fucking podcast. You know how mean we can be. They haven't sterilized the podcast yet.
Take your fucking Geritol and get with the fucking times and start looking at it as it's not a student's fault. It's your fault for being a shit educator who fucking is still living in the 90s.
Hey, the 90s were all right.
The 90s were all right. You know what really sucks, though? Like, with his thing is there are so many young instructors that learned from these old fucking schmucks that now are teaching the exact same way.
Yeah.
It's just another death spiral of generational shit.
The first law of learning. Law of primacy. I say all the time, law of primacy.
You guys.
Things
you guys
first learned are best remembered.
Who my instructor was for my EMT class.
Do I?
I want to say I do.
A certain ornithological
A certain
piece?
Gentleman. A certain ornithological
Of the avian variety?
A certain gentleman with a ponytail.
Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that motherfucker.
Yes.
Dude, I always wanted to fuck it. Oh, we should. I mean, Butch is an Indian. He could fucking cut that off like a scalp for us.
So.
And it wouldn't be misappropriating, a fucking culture.
And you. I mean, Turk, you've sat when I helped you, when I taught a few of your lectures.
Mm-hmm.
Does his teaching style reflect in me? Like, do I teach like he does?
No, nobody teaches like he does.
Exactly. But you have a friend of mine who I knew in EMT class who went on to be an educator for their department who instructs the exact same way.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
So.
And no one bats a fucking eye over it, and this is the problem.
Well, and so here's another great example of, I think, just like anything else, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, when you have pieces of shit in positions that are, elevated positions, the only reason they are able to maintain those positions is by having cover from those above them. Think about that for a second. Let it stew. Because I'm going to go down the rabbit hole a little bit here. So that, let's just say that one particular individual that we all know that we're talking about. I have never, not once, not any time, ever met anybody from that person's class, from that person's place of work, anyone who's had any ever contact with that. This is a person who I've never met anybody that ever had anything positive to say about this person.
Yeah.
Not fucking one.
Not one.
Not one.
Yep.
You got to be a special kind of piece of shit to not have a single person say, yeah, he's a pretty good guy. He's all right. No, it's always something negative. Always like, oh, what a fucking asshole. Oh, what a piece of shit. He fucked this person over, blah, blah. I mean, it's like,
oh yeah, man.
So how does somebody like that retain their position? They have to have cover from above. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to blame them, you got to start blaming the people above them who hire them, who keep them employed.
Who keep them employed.
There's another way, but it's a lot less PG.
Well, yeah, I mean, knee pads are involved and,
Phil
some
sticker.
Lip injections, maybe.
Yeah. Little collagen action, but for the most part, it's either the buddy system or it's, for whatever reason, there's just something that the people above them have this thing about just keeping them around, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
There's just something. If you want to talk about root issues, okay, yep, we have shit people that have been around for far too long doing the wrong stuff. Well, who's letting them stay?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Kind of like us and our fucking elected officials,
Yeah.
We keep bitching and complaining, but you keep pulling that fucking lever.
You're right.
So
Gerard, before I get to mine, what is the one thing that you want to say to the educators out there?
I go Shakespearean to my favorite Shakespearean quote. This above all, to thine own self be true. Chew on it, think about it, shake its hand even. All right.
So
apply it.
I like apply it. If I think for me, it has to be a simple message. And this is something that I took from talking to my mother-in-law, who's been an educator in the K-12 system for 30 plus years, recently retired. Congratulations to her. Education is not...
There was a lot of feeling behind that.
Well,
he's like, congratulations to her.
Yeah. there was no stick. There was nothing. Congratulations to her.
Right.
Right.
Congratulations to her. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
Fuck you.
I could hear your father-in-law now. Really?
Really? Really? Education is not for yourself. You know, like, as an educator, I am not there for me. I am there for the people that are seeking new information. All these fucking educators make it about themselves. Their class, me, I'm going to be the center of attention. And I think that's where they get it wrong, is they forget that education has zero to do with them and 100% with the students that are actually there to learn.
And here's a phrase that should never be in a course instructor's vocabulary. Ready for this phrase? See, I had this call one time. ...
Oh, because we all know those.
Yeah. You know, you're not there for you to bask in the glory of your long gone career.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of newer guys that are teaching and stuff. They don't do this kind of shit. They're fucking on the mark. They're doing a good, they're fighting a good fight. And I'm, I'm glad they're out there. But yeah, there's this, it's like that little piece of turd that just won't fucking flush. You know, you're just like, the fucking keeps coming back. You know, it's just clinging to the edge of the fucking bowl.
Yeah, you know, man.
Those are the ones that you gotta get the brown out, man. You gotta get some tidy bowl in there and you gotta get rid of them. Those are the ones that'll sit there and they will fucking tell you all about this call and that call from, 1983 and, all this shit. And we put mask pants on their fucking face. I ran a line of D5W rectally and, all this good shit. But, yeah, then by the end of the hour long of their fucking story, that's the end of the fucking class and they've done nothing.
Right. And you've learned nothing.
And nobody's learned a fucking thing, except that, mask pants used to go on people's heads and you can give D5W up somebody's ass. Right. So, what I mean? It's like, that's one of the biggest things these older ones tend to do a lot of.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think, because they don't know anything else, the education was never told how to be done. So now it's just, right. Well, the only thing that I have is to correlate this idea is telling them a story about some wild fantasy of a call that I've done 30 years ago.
The fish has gotten bigger and bigger every time I tell it.
Right. And instead, they don't sit there and go, okay, hey, I had a really awesome conversation with my 10-year-old who taught me a different way of thinking about the heart, the vasculature, and the blood. And here's what my 10-year-old told me. And guess what? It makes a fuck ton of sense. And, maybe you guys can use that,
So I had a geriatric for my first EMT instructor. And there was definitely some tendency to, stick to what he knew and the old ways and stuff like that. But, and this is why I say it can be done. Like, just because, you're an old fart, if you're listening to this, that means you know how to work a podcast, so you're not that old. You know what I mean? You ain't fucking dead yet. And there's, if you recognize the problem, you can fix the problem. So like the guy that taught my EMT class, yeah, he had some of that, this is the way I've always done shit kind of stuff. But it's funny because he said, how the kid made you think about how the heart worked. When I started doing it, when I was learning about the heart, I went, like right in the middle of class, I was like, oh, so it's just a closed circuit hydraulic system. Because that's how my brain thinks about things.
Yeah, yep.
And he looks and he went, I've never heard anyone put it that way, but that is exactly right. That's exactly what it is. It is a closed circuit hydraulic system with high pressure, you know, and low pressure. Low pressure return, high pressure out.
Yep.
Yeah. And the pressure in the system has to remain constant.
Yep.
If you lose pressure, the pump works faster to maintain that constant pressure, you know, with check valves.
Yep.
You know, so I'm like, oh, okay. Then now I know how the heart works. It's a fucking hydraulic system. Great. Right. No problem.
Right. You know? And for people to correlate that, especially as adults, right?
Yeah.
Because we have experience in the outside world, you have to correlate things with what adults will know and understand. So, you know, I was talking to one of the, here's another shameless plug for Medic Materials. We now offer EMT and paramedic tutoring services.
Ooh.
So if you want to sit one-on-one with Zoom with me and learn, you know, EMT class and paramedic class stuff so you can pass, there's that on our website now too.
Yeah, maybe I'll even materials.com.
But I'm tutoring an EMT student right now, and we were going over ventilation and respiration and stuff, and we were specifically talking ventilation, and he's a construction guy. That's what he does for a living, as a construction business. So he was like, you know, he's thinking about it, and he's like, intake, outtake. He's like, you know, like almost like duct systems. He's like, you know, ventilation in, ventilation out. And I was like, you know, he's like, good air in, good air out. And I was like, yes. I was like, think about it like that, you know, because he found something in his day-to-day life that he can correlate this and make the connection. And that's how adult learners learn.
It's correlation. When you can achieve correlation,
teaches it that way.
Right.
So if you can figure out how to correlate things, you get a better understanding. You know, again, it's not teaching for you. It's teaching for them. And, you know, that's the way it needs to be.
Yeah. I mean, lots of times I would find myself, especially, you know, dealing with like the firefighters and stuff, I would try to put things in fire terms that they could understand.
Yep.
Yeah, you know,
big hose, small hose.
Right. 5-inch hose, that's your, you know, that's your low pressure, right? You know, your 1¾-inch, that's your fucking high pressure coming out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So anything else to add, guys? I think, you know, it all comes down to the administrators that are running the programs to stay on top of their actual instructors and figuring out what they're doing.
Right, and the people above them who need to start recognizing when they're keeping people around that they shouldn't.
Agreed. And the actual instructors themselves taking it away from them and putting it on the actual student. You know, I should never hear ever from an EMS instructor that you don't have fucking time for your student.
Yeah,
that should be the reason. That should be the first thing that you say, yep, I'm done. I should just quit.
Yeah, that, and like I said, man, you know, if you're listening to this and you're getting all hot and bothered and pissed, and like, oh, motherfucker, you know, I do this and I do that. Good. Keep doing what you're doing. We're not talking about you.
Right.
You know?
We're talking to the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds who don't.
If you're listening to this and any of this kind of, you know, rings a bell, you know, old dogs can be taught new tricks. You know, you're not completely fucking, you know, like, oh, that's it, let me just fucking go jump off a bridge,
right?
You know, no, dude, be better.
Yeah,
you know, think about, you know, all the shit you've done, all the experiences you've had and all that stuff. That's great, but you know what, recognize, hey, when half your class fails, that's you, man, that's not them,
right?
So, and because once you recognize that, then you can fix the problem.
Yeah, and I'll, you know, tell you, I think, you know what we should do, and maybe we won't do it on a podcast, but maybe we'll do it as a CME, you know, just to expand this conversation, because I think it's something that we should be doing. All as educators, you know, we all have different ideas and methodologies and stuff. I think we should open it up to not just complaining about here's what the problems are, but here's the solutions that you can try in your classroom to fix it. And I think that should be something that we also talk about, because, you know, I can lay out 100 different things that I do in class, outside of class, that help my class succeed. And, you know, things that you do that since you moved, I've now had to learn how to do because I still want them in my class, you know? Right. And now I'm starting to see that with Phil, even though he's been super quiet this whole fucking episode. You know,
talking his phone's so important, you know.
He's talking to his girlfriend, seeing titties on his phone. You know what's going on. Ooh,
that's always fun. I love it when I get fresh titties on my phone.
Tell her I say
hi. I got that now.
Now you got married.
I was gonna say I got this now. I don't get fresh titties on my phone no more.
I mean, you should. Your wife can send you titties.
My mother's harassing me because I was supposed to pick her up like an hour ago, and I kind
of Oh, shit. All right. Well, we should totally go.
Where did
so
you leave your
die?
Mom? Hold on.
At her job.
Oh, shit. She don't work at, like, a 7-Eleven that's going to be closed, and she's out with, like, you know, the riffraff, right?
No.
Well,
I may or may not have forgotten to pick her up.
Oh, shit.
No. We're completely fucked. We're completely fucked.
Yep, that one's for the Phil Foundation.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right, well, to save Phil from death so he can come back EMT class and the next episode, I will sign us off here. Gerard, lead us away.
Oh, man. Mama gonna fuck you up, donuts. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more information about us and the podcast, or if you'd like to send us one of your messed up calls to review, visit medic-materials.com. There you can also find out how to earn continuing education credits just by listening to the podcast. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until next time, remember,
you don't know what you don't know. It's not 100% up to your educator to teach you everything. Go out and find that information on your own.